As we look at African church history, we need to look at John Mark, the evangelist. John Mark was born in Cyrene in Africa. His Hebrew parents belonged to the Levite tribe. They were described as righteous, God-fearing, and wealthy. Early in John Mark's childhood, nomadic tribes invaded the region, robbing, pillaging, looting livestock, stealing valuables. And so Mark's parents, suffering the loss of most of their possessions, migrated to Jerusalem. John Mark was given a good education, became fluent in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. His family was described as very religious, and they were closely connected with the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. The Apostle Peter was the cousin of Mark's father. Barnabas was Mark's cousin. His mother Mary played an active role in the early days of the church in Jerusalem. Her upper room was used for the Passover supper, which was used by the Lord Jesus for his last supper with his disciples. And it was in the same upper room that the Lord appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. It was also believed it was in that same upper room of Mary, the mother of John Mark, that the church was gathered in prayer when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2. John Mark was present at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, and church tradition identifies young Mark as one of the 70 disciples sent out to proclaim the gospel in Luke 10. Mark was also identified as the man who was seen carrying the jar when the two disciples were sent to prepare a place for the celebration of the Passover. Remember in Mark 14, Luke 21, the disciples were to look for a man carrying a jar. Why is that so significant? Because men didn't carry jars of water. The women carried water. And so to see a man carrying the jar, that was the signal. Remember, they had to avoid, the high priests were looking for an excuse to arrest him. The Lord wanted nothing to interfere with his last supper with his disciples. He didn't want to be arrested ahead of time. He wanted to finish things off first. So this is like an underground church signal. John Mark was the young man who on the night that the Lord was betrayed and arrested was following Jesus wearing a linen garment. And when they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. We only read about that in Mark's gospel, written by John Mark, and that's in Mark 14. And he speaks about a young man following. Well, he was that young man. John Mark accompanied the Apostle Peter on his missionary outreaches in Jerusalem and in Judea. And it was in his mother's home that the church was meeting for prayer in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, when the Apostle Peter was in prison. That must have been a great prayer meeting. Imagine they're praying for the Apostle Peter to be released from prison. Next thing he's knocking on the door, he's already been released by an angel. When his uncle Barnabas, and you read that it's John Mark's uncle in Colossians 4:10, when his uncle Barnabas and Paul returned from Jerusalem, they brought John Mark with them to Antioch, as we read in Acts 12. Verse 25. He's a very privileged young man. He's been involved in an enormous amount of the early church history and in the Gospels with our Lord. When the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were sent off on that first great missionary journey of the church, sent out by Antioch, Acts 13, John Mark went with them. And after their successful outreach in Cyprus, they traveled to Perga in Pamphylia, where John Mark left them to return to Jerusalem. The scriptures do not mention his reasons for leaving them. Whether it was the dangers or homesickness, whether zeal had ebbed or his courage had failed him, Mark deserted the elderly Barnabas and the sickly Paul and left them to scale the mountain passes to the Pisidian Antioch by themselves. Acts 13:13. This morning in devotions we were learning about those who give up. Well, John Mark, after having such a privileged upbringing, having such a great foundation, he gave up on his first mission. I mean, that's really sad. But when Paul and Barnabas set off on a second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. He might have said, you know, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You can imagine what Paul might have been saying. Paul and Barnabas had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. I mean, this is sad. The first mission partnership in history broke up. Barnabas and Paul split. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas. Acts 15. Happily, however, that is not the last you hear about John Mark. He didn't just have a privileged beginning and a failure, but John Mark continued. Despite this unpromising beginning to his missionary career, John Mark came back and he's later reconciled with the Apostle Paul, and he proved himself in the field, and he became in later years a faithful co-worker of the Apostle Paul. So much so that in Colossians 4 verse 10, Paul writes, "My fellow prisoner, Articus sends you greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." Wow, that's quite a change in attitude. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 11, we read, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Now, this is the same Paul who had refused John Mark earlier. So there's something dramatic's happened in between. So from initially being a failure, a deserter, a quitter, a man who put his hand to the plow but looked back, who caused a sharp disagreement and division between his cousin Barnabas and the Apostle Paul, John Mark had gone on to repent, to restore, to make restitution, and to rebuild Paul's trust in him. Praise God for that. So much so that Paul, in his pastoral letter to Timothy, describes Mark as useful, helpful to me in my ministry. And Paul also mentions Mark as one of his co-workers in his letter to Philemon. We need to turn to church history to find out what happened between the separation at the beginning of the second missionary journey, Acts 15, and the later reconciliation, restoration that we read about in the epistles with Paul. Barnabas died, and he's buried in an island off Cyprus. After the death of his cousin Barnabas, Mark was guided to go back to North Africa to preach the gospel in Pentapolis and his birthplace in Cyrene. After establishing a church in Pentapolis, Mark traveled to Alexandria in Egypt. At that time, Alexandria was considered one of the greatest cultural centers of learning in the world. It was certainly the greatest city in Africa. Its colonnaded streets were as wide as 200 feet, like two-thirds of a football field length wide. The Museum and Library of Alexandria were some of the most impressive and imposing buildings anywhere on any continent. Alexandria was just stunning. And it contained some of the rarest and best of human achievements, including several million scrolls and books in the Alexandrian Library. Greek philosophers, Hebrew rabbis, Persian and Indian seers, Egyptian teachers gathered to discuss and debate world and life views. Yet, Alexandria at this time was also notorious for drunkenness, decadence, debauchery, and extravagant fashions of the very rich. All day, Mark walked through the marketplaces and the streets of Alexandria, and towards evening, a strap of a sandal was torn, and he turned to the first cobbler's shop to have his sandals repaired. As the cobbler was working the awl pierced his hand, and he took God's name in vain. Mark picked up some clay, applied it to the wound, prayed for him, and the man's hand was miraculously healed. Then, taking his cue from the cobbler's blasphemous statement, Mark started to talk to him about the Creator God, who made heaven and earth, the eternal judge before whom we must stand at the last day, and of his son, the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. The cobbler Ananias surrendered his life to Christ and invited the evangelist to stay in his home. Ananias and his family were baptized, becoming the first fruits of the church founded by the evangelist Mark in Alexandria. This was in 61 AD. Soon, many other Alexandrians were converted, and the Christian faith grew dramatically, and the authorities became alarmed, and the local Christians pleaded with Mark to leave town until this threat had passed. Mark then traveled to Pentapolis. He visited the church he had planted, did some follow-up, and about that time he received the invitation from Paul to join him in Rome. Hearing that Mark had been forced to leave Egypt because of the hostility of the authorities, Paul sent for Mark to join him in Rome, and later on Paul testified to Mark's usefulness in the ministry. Mark later became a co-worker of the Apostle Peter. We read about that in 1 Peter 5 verse 13. It was under the apostolic authority of St. Peter that the gospel according to St. Mark was written. So Mark's gospel is actually also Peter's gospel. It was his apostolic authority that Mark wrote it under. Both the apostles Peter and Paul were martyred in Rome in 64 AD. So Mark returned to Alexandria in 65 AD. He found the Christians firm in the faith and growing in grace and boldness. Mark established the school of Alexandria to defend Christianity against the philosophical school of Alexandria. He wrote the Liturgy of the Holy Eucharist, which was later modified by St. Cyril, and many miracles were attributed to his ministry, and many converts were won to the faith. The church in Egypt is today still called the See of St. Mark. In the same year, 68 AD, Resurrection Sunday fell on the same day as the Serapis Feast. A mob of heathen idolaters who had gathered in the Serapis Temple in Alexandria were whipped up into a frenzy and poured out to attack the Christians who were celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Mark was seized and dragged by ropes throughout the city, and the mob chanted, "The ox must be led to Basilus." Basilus was one of the idols who was worshipped with sacrifices of oxen. In the evening, the bruised and bleeding evangelist was thrown into a dark prison. There he was encouraged by an angel who told him, "Now your hour has come, O Mark, the good minister, to receive your recompense. Be encouraged, for your name has been written in the book of life." Mark thanked God for sending his angel to him, and then he had a vision of the Savior himself, who declared, "Peace be to you, Mark, my disciple and evangelist. Be strong, for tomorrow you shall receive the crown of martyrdom." And Mark rejoiced with loud shouts of praise to the Lord Jesus. The next morning, the pagans came in and this time tied the rope around his neck. Mark was dragged in a triumphal procession of Serapis throughout the city until his head was severed from his body. As the pagans fell upon his body to mutilate it, they attempted to burn his remains, but the wind blew and the rains fell in torrents. Thunder and lightning dispersed the mobs, and the believers were able to retrieve John Mark's body and his head to bury under the church he had founded. The Gospel of Mark has always been associated and symbolized by a lion. There's many stories that associate Mark with lions. One story related by the Coptic historian Severus Ibn al-Mukaffa described an event early in his life when John Mark was walking with his father Aristolos in Jordan. Two lions were striding towards him, and his terrified father instructed John Mark to flee for his life. However, the young boy assured his father that the Lord God would protect him, and he began to pray, and the lions passed by without harming them. From being one of the original 70 evangelists sent out by the Lord Jesus, John Mark preached the gospel throughout Judea, Asia Minor, Italy, Cyrene, and Egypt. The churches he established in Egypt have flourished despite having endured nearly 14 centuries of Islamic persecution. This is Egypt as it stands today. And there still are churches called St. Mark's all over Egypt. You can go from one side of Egypt to the other, and there's so many churches, even those built in caves, called St. Mark's. St. Mark is the most honored name in Egypt amongst the Christians, and the most popular name for a baby boy to be called. But the church is under attack. Christians are being persecuted. Radical Islamics, especially the Muslim Brotherhood, have been murdering our brethren in Egypt, and they have suffered a lot of destruction. Their churches have come under siege. The blood of the martyrs is still the seed of the church to this day. We need to pray for the Christians in Egypt who are suffering attacks, arson, bombings. They say, "The Muslims may destroy our churches, but they can never destroy our faith." The churches of St. Mark have been standing firm in Egypt for 14 centuries under persecution. Many of the prayers and liturgies that he originally drafted found their way into the Book of Common Prayer, compiled by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, the first Protestant Archbishop of Canterbury during the English Reformation. The Gospel of Mark is the first gospel that was written, and it's the shortest gospel. It also relates the most miracles. The life of John Mark teaches us that failure does not need to be final. By God's grace, our sins can be forgiven and our weaknesses can be turned to strength in him. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Can I encourage you, if you haven't read Mark's gospel recently, do so. You can do it in one evening. It's in one sitting. It's not that long a book. And it's the fastest reading, the most action-packed. It flows so quickly, and you regularly and straightway and immediately. I mean, you can get John Mark's character as you read Mark's gospel. It focuses on what Jesus did, not so much what he taught. What he taught was emphasized more in Matthew and Luke. But what Jesus did and the miracles of Jesus, Mark's gospel is really the most dynamic of that.